everybody. Man, it sure is good to see you guys again very much. I feel like that you are family to me. It's really nice to be able to just walk back on the facilities here and just be treated like I never left. It's just really, really nice. Of course, when I hear little kids and I turn around and the little kids' parents were little kids when I was here, I realize I did leave for a while. You guys, again, as I said before, you're really good eggs. I love you. Appreciate you being willing to put up with me. I'm here because my mom's in a little bit of a rough way right now. And she's going to have a surgery tomorrow and some surgeries that are going to follow that. And so I'll just confess to you that my mind, to be honest with you, is more on what's going on with her than on the sermon. But I ask the Lord on my way in here to help me. I ask for some help through the Spirit. I'm confident that He will give it to me this morning. Shannon loves you and she misses you very, very much. And she wants me to remind you it's not her fault. And some of you will get that, but it's not her fault. I was really close to calling a little bit of an audible here. And I do this from time to time. I used to do it here. I do it at Aberdeen. If something through the Spirit hits me that I feel like I need to address more than the sermon. But I did something I haven't done in a long, long time. I never did it here. I don't know that I've ever done this, but I submitted PowerPoint things. You know, PowerPoint? So I don't know how this is going to go, but something told me just to do this. I think really because I thought this would be easier to preach and less stressful if I did it this way. So since I prepared those and submitted those, don't put them up yet, please. I thought, well, we'll go ahead and do it this way. But I did have some things that I wanted to unburden myself of, if that's okay. Even if it's not okay, I'm going to do it anyways. But I just want to continue just a little bit what we were talking about in Bible class, if I might, for just a minute. Is it okay if I do this? I'll cut the lesson short, I promise, okay? Several of you have asked me what's going on in the church right now. We can't get anybody that wants to preach. 23 years ago, when Shannon and I moved to Monroe County, I tried out at the Langs congregation. It's a completely different dynamic than it is right now. There were a lot more guys looking to preach than there were congregations that needed preachers. I really don't know, to be honest with you, and somebody was just asking me about this, and as I said in person, I'll say publicly, I really don't know what's going on. You're kind of asking the wrong guy. I live out in the middle of nothing, right up against the Pacific Ocean. There's one Church of Christ in thousands and thousands of square miles. I'm a little bit out of the loop. As many of you know, I've always been a little bit rebellious, independent thinker. I don't have a lot of preaching friends, don't hobnob with a lot of preachers. I really don't know what they're thinking. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know why so many of them don't want to do it. I know the Columbiana congregation up north, that's the congregation of my youth. I guess you'd call them my home church. They've been looking a long time. I think that the Langs congregation was still looking. I don't know what the situation is there. And of course, you're still looking here. Said all that to say this. You don't need a full-time preacher to be true and faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. What you need, now, somebody's going to get really ticked, which is fine, because then you just don't ask me back next week, as Jeff Bettinger very eloquently said. Somebody's going to say, now, Chuck, you know how this works. You've been doing this a long time. We need the consistency. We need an encourager. We need that presence. And I get all of that. But what you need more than anything else is for you personally to remain faithful and true to Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have a preacher to help you do that, then you got to figure out a way to do it on your own. The pandemic showed us that we are one spoiled nation. We are a bunch of spoiled brats. Heaven help us if they ever figure out how to cut off the electricity, because we're going to start eating each other. I mean, did we not go kook ball bananas over that pandemic thing or what? And people in the church, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I was so blessed to be where I was. We didn't miss a beat. Of course, because of the politics of where I live, it really got crazy. You can't meet. And if you meet, you can't sit like this. You can't do this. And you can't sing. You know what we did? Shannon's dad lives out in the middle of nothing. Bob and Christy were there last summer. It is the middle of nothing. You go to nothing and turn left and keep going. It's at the foothills of the Olympic Mountains. It is beautiful. It's one of the few places left on God's green earth where cell phones don't work. And I love it. And so we went out there and I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to build a fire because Randy Williams taught me to love campfires. And we built a fire. And we all sat around that fire and we sang what we wanted to sing and we talked about what we wanted to talk about. And as I said to the Bible class, I grew closer to the Lord Jesus personally during the pandemic than I ever had in my whole life. So I know sometimes things don't go the way we want them, right? Church doesn't go the way we want. I don't have the preacher I want. We're not doing what I want to do. Then you got to figure out a way. And through the Holy Spirit, there's always a way to be close to God, right? Please don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. My dear sweet wife Shannon is a Spirit-filled woman, lives in the Spirit, teaches me the Spirit, and it's life-changing for you. I was talking to one of you the other day, because many of you, we keep up with each other. We don't have that preacher-parishioner relationship. Thank God. We are friends. And so we're always texting and we talk. And I was talking to one of you and you were saying, boy, I don't know. I don't know how this is happening. I don't know why this is happening. And Shannon's in the car next to me and Shannon's going, tell him it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. I finally just said, Shannon wants to say something to you. I had a friend that called me. I say friend. That's an insult. He's like a brother to me. We're cousins. He called me. He's kind of in a little bit of a fix, a little trouble. He said, Chuck, is there any Bible verse that you can think of right now that would help me? It really put me on the spot. I was driving. I said, well, Psalm 139 has recently been very beneficial to me. The Lord searches my heart. He knows me. Before I get up, He knows me. Before I lay down, He knows me. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows why I'm thinking it, which is helpful, right? I said, take a look at Psalm 139. I think it's about the first four verses. It's a little paragraph. It's on the left-hand side of my Bible up towards the top. We talked a little bit. He said, okay. That was on a Thursday. Shannon and I were in Olympia, Washington. I still see it. We were sitting in the parking lot of a fabric store. Imagine that with Shannon. My cousin calls me, and he's almost in tears. I had encouraged him to find a place to worship, to assemble. It's not Church of Christ, but it'll be okay. I said, how did it go? He said, a really freaky thing. And his voice is kind of kind of quivered, really freaky thing happened. He said, now they call him the pastor. Stay calm. Stay calm. It'll be okay. The pastor got up and he said that he was going to wing it today. This is at a huge church. And my cousin's voice getting a little shakier as he tells me the story. I thought, man, what in the world is going on? The pastor said, you guys pick the passage and I'll preach it. We're going to go Old or New Testament today, which I was thinking, now that's frightening. I've never been able to do this. So somebody says, old. Okay, you want to do history, you want to do prophets, you want to do poetry. Somebody says, poetry. Okay, what do you want to do? Psalms. Okay, you want to do Psalms. Which one you want to do? 139. 139. Of course, Shannon's going, it's the Spirit, it's the Spirit. He said, Chuck, that really freaked me out. Howard, you said it in class. Jesus said the Spirit would be sent to help us. And I think one of the shameful things of our movement is we have tried to put out the fire of the Spirit. He will work. He will help you. He will do bizarre and strange things to help you influence other people for good. That was sermon A. Now we'll get to the real sermon. Don't put that picture up yet, Butch. Y'all have a bulletin? Did everybody get a bulletin? And I know last time my critique of myself, I went too long, probably bored the living daylights out of you. Can you give me till 11? Is that okay? Okay, I'll squeeze it in here. Do you have a bulletin? So in your bulletin, you should have, do y'all have something about going to the dump? Okay, if you don't, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't have handouts. Maybe you can look on somebody else's. What I do out there, it's a little church. They're wonderful people. It's a little church, about 40 of us. To keep myself busy, I've kind of gotten involved in many other things. I mow a lot of grass for folks, do a lot of cleanup work. They'll say, Chuck, would you come clean up the yard, clean up this old garage, do this or whatever. So anyways, I am a frequent visitor to the local landfills, and I love it. It is wonderful therapy because being OCD, I'm kind of an anti-hoarder. I love throwing things away, I'm kind of turning into a minimalist. So I just love going to the dump, and I just take great delight in, there you go. And Shannon says, you always feel so much better when you come back. I said, I know, it's great. So the other day, I'm at the dump, and I'm throwing all my stuff off the back of my truck. Which, this is just an aside, but this really embarrassed me. As I'm throwing things off the back of the truck, I fall. And I kind of fall, and I'm laying in this pile of this mess, and this guy comes over, he's going, are you all right, all right? And I hear this voice, there's an old guy that fell off the back of his truck. I thought, man, I'm not old, you moron. Anyways, that's an aside. I look down, and I see this, brought this all the way with me just for this outstanding sermon illustration. I see this laying open. Now, I know you guys all can't see it. It's an old photo album. For those of you less than 20, this was a thing. It was paper, and we held it, and you got it developed. You couldn't just delete these. I picked this up, and this sense of sadness just kind of enveloped me for a minute. There's pictures of little kids and families, and here's some all in a Girl Scout. Y'all remember, some of you got to go back a little bit. Do you remember when this was the thing, these little square picture, early 70s? Yeah. Color kind of a little bit faded. It was laying just like that, and there was a whole pile of them, which told me it was not accidental. Now, what I suspicion is, there was probably a woman, maybe a man, I'm guessing a woman somewhere. This was really valuable to her. This was a treasure. She probably passed on. And what happened? Her kids, her grandkids, her neighbor, they looked at this. What did they think? Garbage. You know what was really fascinating? In that same pile was a little bluish, purplish box, and I recognized it right off the bat because I have some friends who served in Vietnam. It was the box that holds the Purple Heart. And I got that box. What do y'all think? Empty or full? It was empty. It was empty. The point being, this was garbage. The Purple Heart wasn't. Why? If you take this to a pawn shop and say, how much would you give me for these 1972 photos of Girl Scout pictures? What will they tell you? Bye. If you take in a Purple Heart medallion, bye. No, I'm not done yet. Hello. That's memorable. I will remember this day the rest of my life. That's classic. I'll pay you later. We timed it. We worked that out. So this lesson is questions that are inspired by a trip to the dump. Now, Shannon's a little bit embarrassed by this sermon because there is an occasion where I kind of talk about her, and she kind of thinks that this sermon's a little bit about me and my stuff, and I don't mean it to be that way, but they were valuable lessons for me spiritually. I thought maybe you would get something out of this. Again, if you don't, I won't see you next week. Fair? Okay. So, if you got the little handout thing, or on the bulletin, you'll notice I got four questions on there for you. Things I've thought about from these crazy little trips to the dump. First question, how is it that worth or value of something is determined? So look, I know I was here 10 years. Most of you really like the formality of the sermon where you just sit and be entertained. But what I like is interaction. Okay? So I'm now asking you a question. I kind of wait for someone to respond. How do you determine how much something is worth? Okay, supply and demand.
Sentimental.
Sentimental. Okay. Okay, depends on who you are as a person. That's interesting. So let's put all these together. Is it fair to say that value is determined by whatever somebody's willing to pay for it? Is that fair? You got that first picture? Okay. So y'all do offer up Craigslist? You know what that is? If you don't, get a life, okay? So I was looking for one of these. You guys know how much I love to fish, and we've got like some little haunts out there with some trout and bass, and I thought, man, I really like to have one of these. So I see this ad on OfferUp. and it's about an hour away. And so I go and I look at this. Now, the description is great condition. Great condition. So I go, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking all around it, look around it, and I see something interesting on the bottom of it. A hole. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about boats, but a boat with a hole in it is not a boat. We call it an anchor, we call it a planter, whatever you want to call it, but it ain't a boat. I says to the seller, I think that there's an issue here. He says to me, I'm selling this for my grandpa, and he said it wasn't that big of a deal. I wanted to say, I would like to meet your grandpa. Is he in a home somewhere, maybe? He gets a little bit smart-alecky and defensive because he wants $500 for this. I said, I'm not a buyer. As I'm leaving, he says, we'll find somebody who'll take it. Of course, I'm thinking, I go to the dump all the time. I'll hook it up now if you want to pay me. But I thought, man, I would like to stand around and meet the guy. It's going to come and pay you $500 for a boat with a hole in it. How much is that boat worth? Zero. Thank you, Mike. Zero. That's all it's worth. Now, have you all noticed if you do much offer up in Craigslist, everybody thinks their junk is really valuable. I was sitting in the car the other day, and I'm looking at an ad with one of the members of the church out there of real estate. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Seattle, King County real estate. It is crazy. There is a description of a house, and the house says needs a little work or something to that effect. It has the same amount of land as my house in Langs. It's the same dimensions, same number of bathrooms, and it's even in worse condition. You know how when you look through an ad and it says sold? So it had sold $385,000. So I just said to the person in casual, I said, well, that's exactly what me and Shannon's house is. He says, you have a $400,000 house in Ohio? Shannon says, you think we could get $380,000? Now, you're laughing, Buzz. What's the problem here, buddy? By the way, if you guys know of anybody who would give me $400,000 for the house, and I'll give you the address, the key, everything. What's it worth? It's worth what somebody will pay for it. Let me see those verses, Butch, can we? So what I deliberately did was I didn't put, for the most part, the standard verses, though the last one certainly is. But I tried to pick some verses that are going to make you think, if you take this home with you and think, what's the connection to all of this? In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul, we assume Paul is the writer, maybe not, but whoever the Hebrew writer is, he says, you guys got to get back to where you're more spiritual and less worldly. And he says, there was a time when you didn't mind that all your stuff was plundered because you knew that you had greater wealth somewhere else. To the true believer, true follower of Jesus Christ, how much is all this stuff worth, truthfully? Zero. Hebrews 11:26 is a really cool passage. Maybe someday down the road, you know, we together could analyze it and study it again. It's talking about Moses. And Moses, who didn't even know who the Christ was 2,000 years before him. It says, Moses thought that the reproach of Christ was of greater treasure than anything Egypt had to offer. Now, if I were to ask you today, which is more valuable, persecution or stuff, what would you say? You're looking at me like, I know what he wants us to say. Well, I know that you know what I want you to say, but let's be honest with each other. We would say, the persecution, zero. My stuff, that's what I want. Moses' philosophy was the opposite. The more important verses are Mark 10:45 and John 3:16. Mark 10:45 says that Jesus offered his life up as a ransom for me and you. Does anybody know what a ransom is? If you ransom me, what's that mean? By the way, if I was kidnapped, what would y'all give up for me? Let's go around the room. JD, what would you'd give me the boat, wouldn't you? Yeah. Thanks, JD. Yeah. I know a boat in Washington will trade you for him. Yeah. Jesus gave his life for me. For God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. What's the point to this? What are you worth to God? Everything. Everything. What's the next question? What value does Jesus place on your valuables? Good night. I have 4 minutes. All right. I'll talk fast. You listen fast. Have you ever thought about what Jesus thinks of your junk and your stuff? Is he impressed by what you have? Anybody? Okay. Maybe I should just go to the next point then. No, I want to show you this picture. So, this is Shannon's really torqued at me for doing this. Okay. Just to set this up real quick, shortly after I moved to Aberdeen, I have a friend there. I've known him for 30-some years. He's been friends of Shannon's family, the Deffenbaughs, for almost 50 years. Just the salt of the earth. You guys know how I was always teasing. Do you remember I would tease you about wanting a Ford Mustang GT convertible? Of course, you guys didn't love me. You never got me one. Randy was always going to get me one, but he went to heaven before he could get it for me. I get a call from this friend of mine, and Shannon was in on the whole thing, and he says, I got a little bit of a problem. I need to talk to you. And I went to his house, and he said, I got a problem with my golf clubs. Can you come out in the garage and look at them? And I go out in the garage, and there sits an Oxford white Ford Mustang GT convertible. The top is down. It's pristine. I said, Roger, you got my car. And he hands me the keys. He said, I got your car. And I cried like a baby. It's my prized possession. And Shannon and I think that we're 18 years old. And we just cat around all over the place in it. And it really helps that Shannon's brother is a Washington State Trooper. And I'll just leave it at that. It's come in real handy to name drop. The same friend that gave it to us last September, right before my mom and dad came out for a visit, he said, would you like to go over and look at so-and-so's car collection? I love cars. And now that I have this one, I really love cars and people who love cars. Shannon said, let's take the Mustang and show them our car. There you go. Let's brag a little bit. Let's be very unchristian. We put the top down, flew over, and I mean flew over to Tacoma, got to this guy's house, and we go inside the house. Then we go into the garage. The garage is about this big. All the cars sit on little pieces of carpet. There's a 2021 Porsche 911. There's a red Ferrari. There's an NSX. And then there's this. And this is a 2023 Lamborghini Aventador. They went to Italy. They ordered it, they picked it up, and they had it shipped to Tacoma, Washington. If any of you are so inclined, minus the shipping, you can get this for $789,000. And of course, me and Shannon had to be stupid and get in it. And it has these bat wing cars or doors. So I got this picture of Shannon, and doesn't she look impressed? And we get out of the car, and Shannon says this: "Do you still want to show him the Mustang?" And I said, "No. No." You're going to get someday to stand before the Lord, and you're going to think all your stuff was so wonderful. Brother in Jesus has been driving a Lamborghini, and you're riding a one-wheeled bicycle. He just ain't impressed with what you got. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, you guys know the story of the rich young ruler. Do any of you remember what he said, what he told that dude to do with his stuff? He said, "I want you to go and just get rid of all of it. Give it to the poor." If you guys know that story, he didn't want the man's stuff. What did he want? He just wanted the man. Your stuff, I don't care what it is, Mustang GTs, whatever, houses, boats, bank accounts, jobs, your stuff is only as impressive to him as what you use it to do for other people, right? What's the third? Should I quit? I'm over. All right, real quick. Number three. Can a person's value depreciate? Can a person's value depreciate? So you guys, you know how everything works with stuff? One of my trips to the dump, I'm unloading all my stuff. There's a guy in an F-150 next to me. He's pushing off this beautiful, do y'all remember the big color console TV sets? Oh, when I was a kid, I dreamed about one. I just dreamed, maybe this Christmas, maybe this, you know, because we had the little one you had to beat with a broom handle. And it was like, you had to say to your sister, "Can you sit over there so we get better reception?" It was one of those deals. And he's pushing this thing off, and I went over to him and I said, "Does it work? Does it work?" And he said, "It did." But you smart aleck. I found out that those things in the early 70s went for $500. That doesn't sound like much today. That would be like today having a $4,000 TV. Now I know why I never got one for Christmas. At one point, it's worth thousands of dollars. What's it worth now? It's garbage. My problem is that I've started to think, because I have to deal with so much stuff out there with people that are really, really weird, really worldly, really on the other side of the tracks. And there's a part of me that wonders, does their value go down and depreciate with God? Can we look at this real quick, Mitch? Once everybody gets up and leaves, I'll know I'm too long. Do y'all recognize this? Aren't babies cute? I mean, we just had a cute episode over here a minute ago. Aren't babies cute? They're valuable. We just want to love them and squeeze them and hug them and be good to them, just loving. Let me see the next picture. Well, this is who this baby grew up to be. Do you think that his value went down? Well, yes. Somebody said yes. Thank you. I'm not the only one that thinks like this. Let's see the next picture. One of the members at Aberdeen went to school with this kid, went to college with this kid, rode all over the Northwest in a yellow Volkswagen Beetle with this kid. Doesn't he look cute? Y'all know who that is? It's Theodore Bundy. Not so cute. Let's look at these verses real quick, Butch. John 13, verse 5. John 13 is the story where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. It's always been intriguing to me that in washing the disciples' feet, whose feet does he wash? Judas. Thank you, Jeff. Judas. In Mark 16 and verse 7, the angel says to the women, go tell them that he is risen. Make sure you tell the disciples and Peter. Both of those passages are showing me a human being's value with God never depreciates. Whether you are standing by his side loving him or you are betraying him, where are you with God? You are valuable to him, right? I leave you with the last. Does valuation matter in the end? Does it matter to God what value you put on things and on other human beings? Absolutely it does. You guys remember the story in Luke 12? Jesus is preaching. Somebody shouts out from the crowd, can you tell him to share the inheritance with me? By the way, we're kind of dealing with this a little bit because Shannon's dad is aging. He's wanting to get everything set up and who's going to get the house and who's going to get the land, who's going to get the money. Have y'all noticed something? You start talking about inheritance, and if there's a lot of money, it brings out really interesting things about people. Somebody shouted out to him, tell the brothers to give us some of it. You remember what Jesus said? I don't have anything to do with that. And he tells this story about a guy that had all this stuff. He tore it down. He built bigger stuff, right? And here's the end of it. But God said to him, you're a fool. This night your soul will be required of you. And all the stuff that you've prepared, whose will it be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Does God care what you think is valuable? Now, wait a minute. He doesn't care about your valuables, but he cares about what you think is valuable. And if it's all that stuff that you think is so wonderful, you got to change your thinking by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's valuable is you, your soul, the soul of your kids, the soul of your wife, and the soul of this church, right? Amen. You guys are good listeners. Wow, I went way over. I'm sorry. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you loving me. And just appreciate you being my friend. I really do. If anybody's here who's not a Christian, you don't know what I'm talking about by being a Christian, and if you want to talk some more about it, find me, find Bob, find one of the elders, find somebody, and we will help you become a Christian and begin this born-again process today, right? All right, let's stand together if we can, please. Whatever your need is this morning, you can make your wishes known at this time.